Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the New Year's Eve edition. Hope each and every one of you are out there, got something smoking or cooking on your back deck and going to celebrate this upcoming 2017 and put 2016 behind us. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
What's cooking is the tail end of a cold, so pardon me if I cough and blow my nose and just sound pretty disgusting on the radio.
Kind of is the season for that. I had it about a week ago, and I hit it hard with the like the cold ease and the Zycams and all of those, and by golly, I'm a believer. I shortened that thing to about 4 days, which it's usually a week, and I only had one really bad day from it. And,
I did the same thing, but usually what I find, I do the cold ease gummies, and I didn't get them in Colorado. But I find that towards the tail end, you get like a sinus rush for like a day. That's where I'm at right now. So I bypassed all the junk too, and I'm with you, man. And I think you turned me on to Zycam about 7 or 8 years ago, you and maybe Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, well, I don't know about Rush, but but the bottom line is find something that works for you and do what they say it does, and then it works out because it does shorten that and you feel better and life gets back to normal.
Yeah, it's that time of year too when we've got babies in the house and the babies have had a cold for like a week. They give it to each other and then they get over it, and it, you know, it just goes in a circle. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah.
I want to just chat with Ryan at 10.buck17 on Twitter, who kind of chided me, and he said, heard you say that only young doe is worth eating, LOL. I shot a 5.5-year-old buck, hung it for 10 days in the cool, best ever. So,
well, there's a lot about that, Bob.
Is
letting it hang is the key, and what he just said there is that you want to get that blood out of that meat, and the longer you let it hang, rather, the better it's going to be. It ages.
Well, actually, Tim Sobey told us for venison, it's not going to age like beef. So there is a point where you don't want to you do want to process it. So I don't know what that line really is. I've done it all sorts of different ways. This year, I just let that doe hang for a day and a half and took her in because it was warm. I didn't dare.
Well, and the key is hanging them upside with the head down and the tail up. All that blood rushes out.
I know the feeling.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for that, Ryan. I didn't necessarily mean, and I don't even know what I said, but I've eaten a lot of buck that are tasty. What I was probably trying to say is there's nothing better than a young doe.
Right.
So let's clarify that.
Right.
I had an interesting, we have a bunch of people in our house right now and they won't leave. So my wife's constantly picking things up and throwing them into the lower level, which is where my office is and three of the bedrooms. It's a walkout ranch. And, so she'll grab shoes and throw them downstairs instead of, you know, waiting for the kids to, you know, a year later, take care of them.
And these aren't really young kids either.
No. They're in their 20s.
Right.
They're college.
Still kids.
They're college kids. Well, actually, Maggie's 28, and she has all these wedge platform this and that, and she's got these fancy shoes. And there was a pair of these high heel kind of boot things with this big wedge heel, and Maureen intended to throw them down the steps, but one of them was sitting on the steps, and I redid my staircase.
Oh, here we go.
I redid my staircase, and I took some old carpet samples and cut them into pads for the tops because I didn't want to do new carpeting on them because I knew we were redoing the floors. So I just used some scraps, and then I took sassafras plates and nailed them to the front. It looks really cool. The bad part is, as I'm nailing them on, I thought, man, you don't ever want to fall down these steps because the sharp edge of this board's going to really hurt versus the carpeted treads.
So now you're speaking from the experience?
So I'm walking downstairs with my hands full. I had a plate of nachos I was bringing to my son Alex as a little surprise gift, and I stepped on that high heel halfway down the steps, and it kind of tipped over, which sent my foot forward into the next step, which sent me on a slide down on your back version of going down
the stairs. Did you save the nachos?
I tried. I failed.
So there's Zeus's nachos.
Salsa everywhere. The nachos, half of them were still on the plate. Zeus loved them.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I laid at the bottom of those steps moaning for, it seemed like a week, but it was only a couple minutes before somebody heard, Alex heard the commotion, wondering what dropped down the stairs. Well, it was his dad.
Right.
And I'm telling you, man, I am a sore puppy dog because that was not cool.
Well, yeah, that's not good at all. And nobody felt guilty, right? It's just like, well, you should have saw that shoe. That's how that
That's exactly how that played. You're so wise. I'm getting ready to take my bride down to St. Thomas when I get back from my business trip out west. And we're going to go to an island called Joost Van Dyke with my buddy Carl and his wife. And they've been going there for like 10 years, and we go to all-inclusives all the time, and they keep telling us about this trip they take, and they'd stay for like a month because you're basically camping on the ocean. And as much as I love my all-inclusives, when they would tell me about theirs, every year it sounded better and better and better. The first time they told me, I'm like, oh, man, you don't have somebody bringing you a Frozen the pool. You know? And now it's like we camp so much. We got all excited and they invited us down. So we're now prepping for that 10 days on the beach in Joost Van Dyke. And I'm finding all sorts of people in America that actually go to Joost Van Dyke. I mean, it's a little bitty island. It's only like a mile across and maybe 2-3 miles long. It's pretty small, but it's got some famous haunts on it. And people boat in there for the day.
Is it civilized? I mean, are there stores and stuff that you can buy supplies and things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is a resort, camping resort we're going to. So it's called Ivan's Stress-Free Resort. And it's got,
KOA of the sea.
A cabana kitchen you can use for all your cooking and stuff. And then it's got a restaurant you can eat at and then a big bar up on top. And so you can kind of combine things. But we're doing a bunch of hiking and we're going to have a lot of fun bringing their snorkel gear and really haven't been in the Caribbean in several years and kind of miss that beautiful water. So
sure,
really looking forward to that.
And should be a good trip.
Yeah.
Sounds like it might be economical, too, if you're just camping.
Well, you'd think so, but
never.
It probably saves you 70.
How do you get there?
Yeah.
I mean,
right? It's,
I mean, you got to fly to somewhere.
It's a bunch of ferries where they don't fly you there. Oh. The ferries are boats. But, we're flying to St. Thomas, and then we got to take a boat over to Tortola, and then another boat to Joost Van Dyke. It's an epic venture.
Okay, you're going to be down there with Skipper and Gilligan. That's
good,
man.
Yes, and my buddy from Pennsylvania is going to be in St. Thomas at the same time, so he's going to get a boat and shoot over and spend the day with us. So,
he's a smart one. He's going to get in and get out. He's not going to camp on the beach, but you'll have a fun time.
We love camping.
You guys are campers,
going to be an experience. So.
Yeah, well, very good.
I know you're not a camper.
No, not much. Nope, I like running water. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. But coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about some hors d'oeuvres for your New Year's Eve bash. It is New Year's Eve, and Barbecue Bob and I take this time and reflect back a little bit about all the blessings and the fun times we had in the past year and what we're looking forward to in the next. And we might cover some of that with you as well, because we had a few really cool outings this year that we went to, and it's worth rehashing that stuff. And
yes,
kind of when you get together on New Year's Eve with people,
for sure.
You know, I'm not a big go someplace and pay a bunch of money to sit in somebody's chair and listen to a DJ or something. I'm more like be at home.
You don't like the fake hat,
right? And create my own little party. And
we're
going to be doing that with a bunch of food too, as you would expect the grilling guys to do. So maybe we'll break down some of that as well.
What if the DJ stinks? Right.
Right.
Be your own DJ.
Yeah, and $7 glasses of champagne, and right. We just made a run down to Fen Valley. Barbecue Bob did earlier this week, and so brought back some great wine, and we'll be trying a little bit of that too. And you might hear from the proprietor of Fen Valley a little bit later in the show. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
For Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery pub and kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the New Year's Eve edition. If you're going to go out and do a little partying tonight and celebrate the end of 2016 and the beginning of 2017, Grilling Guys would just like you to be careful and pick a designated driver because nobody needs to get hurt over just another day on the calendar. But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking over there? You're playing on your phone, man.
Yeah, we've lost a couple of great movie stars, Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
And, of course, her daughter a day before.
Right, that's crazy.
Princess Leia.
Yeah, right.
Awful.
I know.
Both great actresses. People are dropping like flies right now. I'm going to try and be careful when I go down those steps.
Right, yeah. Right. We talked about that in the last segment. Not funny that people are passing away, but you falling down the stairs and being okay, now I can laugh about it. So, but anyway, we tend to do house parties for New Year's Eve. I'm not a guy that goes out to a hotel or a bar or something like that. I try to hang loose at home. It's kind of amateur night.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned. Might have a couple or two over for some dinner. Went over to our friends at Sobey Meats, and Tim, as he always is very generous, and also if he knows you're coming, he'll cut a little something special for you. And we're going to do porterhouse steaks on the grill. Is what we're going to do. And I've got a half a dozen of them that are about the size of a dinner plate, it seems. And I always get those because then I have the bone for the dogs, right? And so you get the filet piece on one side, you get the New York strip piece on the other side.
Right.
Nice bone down the middle that you can pull out. And when Michelle's over, we have her yellow lab is with us as well. So I got two dogs that I need to feed a big old steak bone to.
You're a dog lover.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna be throwing down some porterhouse steaks for the New Year's along with a bunch of munchies. And that's kind of where I go now is let's go down that munchie trail. What are you doing, man?
Well, I don't know. I default to bacon a bunch. I got a bunch of, 30-somethings coming over. Nephews, nieces, my kids. My oldest is 30, her husband.
Right.
So I want to do just fun snacks, and for some reason, I'm lazy maybe, but bacon is a default. I can't stay away from it.
Can kind of put it on anything, can't you?
I love it, yeah. So just going to play around with a bunch. And one of the things that Chef Jeff taught us, Jeff Dewey, is the stuffed bacon wrapped dates.
Yeah.
And those are so good. They've become just a favorite. And there's so many things you can put in them, like a pecan or blue cheese or feta or any kind of cheese, you know, some hard cheddar. Aged provolone is really nice because you can cut little slivers and it slides in. I do tend to like that.
Right.
And it melts just enough. But then you just take a third of a slice of some thin bacon, wrap it around it, throw a toothpick on it, boom.
Yeah, the dates are around this time of year in the stores because they're a traditional holiday dried fruit,
yep.
Right? And they don't have they've been pitted. You got to get the pitted ones.
Yes.
So it creates a little void in the center. That's where you put your cheese or your nut or whatever you're stuffing in it. But the key to what you just said was the thin bacon. Don't use the thick stuff because it takes too long to cook and it'll melt all the cheese out of the center of the date if you're using cheese.
And you don't want it rubbery.
Right. But that's a sweet, salty. With the cheese in there, it's just a great little bite, and they're a one-biter. You snap them in the mouth, and it's like everywhere we take those, you and I make those a lot, and everywhere you take them, probably about half the people have never had them.
Right.
And then, so they're like, wow, dates. Ooh, I don't like dates. My mom used to make me dates, right? Not this way. They're awesome. So, that's a good snack. Easy to make. You roll them on the grill once just to let the, or you can do them in the broiler if you're not grilling and you don't want to go outside. But either way, just enough to get that bacon done is all you really want to do
there. So another one is a water chestnut with a little bacon wrapped around it. And then you finish it off with some sweet and sour or some terry sauce, or whatever your favorite little finishing glaze is, an orange bourbon, something like that is good. But water chestnut are just fantastic. I don't know. They're halfway healthy.
Right, and you're using the sliced ones out of the can, right?
Yeah, you know, you can use the sliced or the whole. The whole tend to work a little bit better because they're large enough that you have a good-looking wrap. And otherwise, the slices are just kind of thin and
little disc,
Or you can throw, like, of course, saganaki, which is chicken livers, and I use water chestnut as a base on those, and then I wrap them with bacon, and sometimes I'll put a little piece of pineapple on top. That's how they
now
to
you're
do
getting
it in
fancy.
Hawaii.
You got
That's
three
how
or
they
four
like to
agreements
do it in Hawaii,
or ingredients,
and then you finish it off with a sweet and sour Chinese, the red Chinese sauce, and it's. That's a beautiful presentation. You just pour that sweet and sour over the whole tray when you're done. Kind of drizzle a little. Oh,
now would you grill those or would you broil those?
You grill them.
Okay, so they got a toothpick in them to hold them all together.
They do.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Very cool.
And actually, you end up with two because you have a toothpick from the top to hold the pineapple on, and the water chestnut on the bottom.
Right.
And it's quite a process, but.
Speaking of two toothpicks, I make these bacon-wrapped shrimp. They're just as easy as they sound. Again, all of this stuff is with the thin bacon because the stuff on the inside, you don't want to overcook if it takes too long to cook the bacon. But my tip on those is use two toothpicks or two skewers if you run four or five of them on a couple skewers at a time.
That's the best way to do it.
Right.
Metal skewers.
Right. And the thing is that with the two skewers or the two toothpicks, you can flip them on the grill and they don't spin. They hold together, so you can just grab the two skewers, turn them over one time, and you're cooking both sides. And especially with shrimp, you want the thin bacon because the shrimp will cook up in 2 or 3 minutes on the grill, and you don't want to go much longer than that with the bacon because two things. One, you don't want to overcook the shrimp, but two, you'll get flare-ups with bacon as it renders. The fat comes off it, and if you're over the open flame, you're going to want to keep those things moving a little bit so that they don't burn on you because bacon goes from awesome to bitter when it gets burned. So just want to be careful on that one. And maybe not too hot of a grill because that way you've got a little more time to work with it.
Now, everybody likes the little weenies. I tend to like the Hillshire Farm version.
Yep.
They're the best flavor. And I tend to like their breakfast sausage too, if I don't have the chance to get to Sobeys and get the homemade stuff.
Right.
But you can take those little weenies and wrap them in bacon and then take a little brown sugar and mustard and make a little bit of a glaze. And so you grill up those weenies with the bacon on them. And right as you're taking them off, you just drizzle a little of that brown sugar mustard glaze on there. And, oh, my gosh, they're so good. Not healthy. I mean, you know, it's pretty fatty and pretty bacony, but it's so
they're
stinking
tasty,
good.
Not
it's
healthy.
New Year's, you
right?
know?
Yeah.
You can do your New Year's resolution and go join Snap Fitness and,
right.
and get in shape the next day.
You know
day.
What? I need to talk to you about that, too, because they've been a generous sponsor of the show here for the last year, and I've not taken advantage of the membership that they had provided me, and I need to do that. That is, I'm not a big resolution guy. It's just they're close to my house, and I need to take advantage of it and go down there and start getting a little exercise. So we'll be reaching out to them and see if we can get Jop into a little bit better shape for the 2017. Because
so you never went down and registered?
I did not.
It's been a year, Jop.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. Okay. You, I can see it's made a huge difference in you, but in me.
I wouldn't say huge because I fell off the wagon.
No,
for
I was
a while.
Saying huge. That's what I was saying. But there's a metaphor there. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, I'm in a lot better shape than I was a year ago.
Sure, sure. Why wouldn't you be? I mean, if you're going to take care of yourself and you're going to get down there and go once or twice a week, you were talking about how you tune into the Netflix and do your workout while watching a movie on your phone.
If I'm on the elliptical,
yeah. Yep. That's a pretty cool way to do it. I can see myself
doing
that.
Great, because it's really boring being on elliptical.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the next segment, we want to talk about some shrimp, and I came up with a cool variation for some mac and cheese. And again, sometimes these things are by accident. You're going through the fridge trying to come up with a recipe, and you're missing that one key thing. So I'm going to talk about some mac and cheese that is going to blow your mind, and it was by accident.
What I'm going to talk about is very often when I do pulled pork, I'll do butts on the smoker, there'll be one or two of them left over, because anytime I cook for anybody, I always make extra, so make sure we don't run out. And then, you know, lo and behold, you got extra around. I've got a whole bunch of pulled pork appetizers that are easy to do. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about the munchie on New Year's Eve. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy New Year from the Grilling Guys. This is the New Year's Eve edition, and I hope you're out of bed. And if you're smoking up some stuff for your guests that are coming over tonight, you better build a fire, because you're going to want to be eating in about 12 hours from right now, and that's what it's going to take to smoke any pork shoulder that you're going to need to do on your smoker. Had a couple buddies that got new smokers from Santa Claus. Both of them went pellet, Bob.
Really?
Yeah, they both went pellet, and I had talked to them. They both called, and we talked about regular charcoal.
And what
we
brand did about, they go with?
You know, I don't know, because they were purchased for them, you know. But
it probably was Traeger's.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they both gravitated to the kind of set it and forget it with the rheostat and the hopper full of pellets that feeds itself. And, you know, the beauty of that is you do get a pretty really stable and consistent result.
So these guys would be the type that their idea of camping is at a hotel as well, then.
Well, I don't know about that, but they aren't bringing their electric smoker with them. It's got an auger on it. I can guarantee that. At least to the
there's a correlation there of right. You know, the people that like the more rustic stuff maybe have to have charcoal,
right.
A little more purist, and the Hilton, you know, down the hall for the ice guys might like a pellet smoker because they're a little more pampered.
Right. And they're and you know, these guys aren't either one of them real accomplished grillers, but they wanted to get a good result. And
you
that's
can't
where
say
I took
their names now.
No,
that's for
I'm
sure.
Not going to. It doesn't matter. But the point was, is with the pellet grill, you got the rheostat on there. It keeps a consistent temperature and your results tend to be better. You still got variables,
You've
right?
You've learned to love yours.
I have, even though I've caught it on fire a couple times. I've also learned how to put it back together after I clean it properly.
So. Yeah. Well, there's that maintenance thing you have to do.
Yeah, very important.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes, and, but anyway, you learned many lessons there.
Right, yeah.
Like, where should the thing be placed?
Right, yeah. The garage gets smoky if you don't have it just outside the door, right? Yeah, but it was raining.
Right place, if you put it in the right place, it'll actually catch the garage on fire.
Right. Haven't had that happen. Yep, haven't had that.
Oh, it's happened to so many people. Yeah. Anyway, talking about accidental recipes, in as much as we try to lay back on the carbs, when the kids are around, I like making homemade mac and cheese. And there's a bunch of variations to, like, southern mac and cheese that I've ripped off or adopted or whatever, you know, usually leveraging an old recipe or somebody else's recipe. And this one was dandy, and it only happened accidentally because I accidentally had some lobster. I don't typically buy lobster.
Not one of my favorite things to eat.
I love lobster. Honest. Oh, I love it. But I had to do something with this, and I only had two small tails. So one way to share it is in a casserole, and mac and cheese is wonderful. So I did some southern mac and cheese, and I actually took time, I think, to write down
what makes
steps.
It southern?
You know, I think from the barbecue world, they call it southern just because it's you typically put a little cayenne and a little mustard in it. But this one, I've been playing around with different cheeses, and I had some brie. So I skinned the outside of the brie, which I don't think you really have to do, but I always freak out a little bit over that white stuff. And so I shredded a whole complete little loaf. I think it's a pound package. And, of course, my base is always with Velveeta, American cheese.
Sure.
Because it's
I'm not sure Velveeta's cheese. It's not even refrigerated, but I get it. I like it, too.
Yeah, it's
– I'm not sure what it is, though.
It is. It's processed milk. It's an early stage of cheese, just like La Fromage, you know, many of the La Fromage.
Yeah. It's an early stage of a plastic dish.
Well, brie is kind of the same way. It's an earlier stage of cheese. It's not nearly as mature as like an aged cheese is, which is why it's so soft and so good. But I used actually a whole grain macaroni, which I don't have on the recipe here, but I do tend to try and buy those just so I can get rid of some guilt. And
I'm about to put 3 pounds of cheese on this whole grain macaroni. Somehow that's okay.
Well, there's bacon and lobster going in too. So one little thing when you do this southern mac and cheese is be careful not to get your macaroni well done or soft. It should be a little bit rigid, because what I'm going to try and talk you into is doing this sauce a little bit on the sloppy or liquid side. You don't want the sauce to be too thick either. And if so, that way, if your macaroni is not quite done, and you're putting this sauce in, then you're going to throw it in the oven and bake it for a little bit.
Right.
The pasta itself turns out just perfect. But we're going to use some butter and some Velveeta, a pound of brie, water, a couple lobster tail, a half pound or a pound of bacon, depending on how much you do, salt and pepper. I forgot to put on here cayenne and powdered mustard. And because I was whipping this out after coming back from Fen Valley, and I couldn't remember all my notes. So you basically, I learned to grill lobster in Australia, and they do it really cool down there. They take like scissors or a blade, and they cut up the back of that tail, and they make a long cut all the way along the back. And when you grill it, legs down, that tail kind of puffs up beautiful right out of the shell. It's a tremendous presentation, but it's just a good way to grill it, because you can actually affect that meat with a little bit of spice and aromatics if you want. Again, apologize for the cold.
So you grilled it first, then took it out, cut it up.
I did. I grilled the lobster and then cooled it. And then I just basically fried up some bacon. And then I had this Alaskan knife. The round rocker knife.
Uli.
Yeah, an uli. And I put that on the board and chopped that bacon up really nice and small. Those ulis are so nice for that. And then made the sauce. So I got throw the cheese in a saucepan with some water and heat it up slowly, because you don't want to, it'll burn. And then gently feather in that brie, stirring it constantly because you don't want it to clump up. And you throw in some mustard, dry mustard, and some cayenne, sea salt, butter, and you just get a nice sauce, and you shut it right down right away. You want it kind of lucid, so you want it a little on the runny side. And then you pull out your noodles. You stir in the lobster and bacon into your cheese sauce. And then you just basically blend that into your macaroni, and you put it – I use Pam, and I use one of those big ceramic cake pans, my wife's. And you can do it indirect on the grill, on your smoker, or in the oven, whatever you want.
A little smoke flavor on there,
whatever you want. And I throw some panko chips on top when I'm done. And you put that baby in for about 15 minutes.
Just enough to solidify.
You got to dice that lobster up nice and small so everybody gets a bite, though.
Yeah.
You don't want it too big, or that, you know, your brother-in-law going in front of you and he'll be picking all the lobster.
Right. Yeah, with a spoon. Yeah, exactly. You got one of those too, huh?
I do.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah. Well, anyway,
they made a cartoon about them. I think it's like The Simpsons.
Yeah. If you're doing if you have any leftover pulled pork, or you're doing a pork butt, because you can feed a lot of people pretty economically if you're using pork butts, and it tastes good, really good right off the smoker. A couple things that are fun to make with this is simple Tostitos, the scoops, that and the pulled pork, and a little orange marmalade. Simple little three-ingredient deal, but the saltiness of the scoop chip and the pulled pork with the orange marmalade on there, it's making my mouth water.
And then
just
you
talking
bake
about
it?
Nope. The marmalade and the pulled pork is cooked, obviously. There's no cheese or anything to bake. It's just a little three-part deal. You pop them in your mouth, put them on a tray. So works out pretty good. But coming up next, Barbecue Bob went down to see our friend Brian Lesperance at Fen Valley Winery and had a little chat with Brian. We're going to be playing that next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The many authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell for one time, he could have been the champion of the world.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the New Year's Eve edition. If you're just tuning in, Happy New Year. I hope your 2016 is wrapping up fantastic and you're looking forward to 2017. I know that's the situation I'm in. What about you, Barbecue Bob?
The situation I'm in varies from moment to moment. We had an awful lot of fun at Fenn Valley, and I took the liberty of bringing my recording device and having a nice little interview with Brian Lesperance, who is Doug Welsh's son-in-law, Gwen's husband. And Brian is like my first contact at Fenn Valley when I was looking for a wine sponsor. I love Brian. He's just so nice.
He's a fantastic guy. I had the privilege of doing some remodeling in his home and helped him out with some new kitchens and baths, and he was just a treat to work with.
Yeah. Well, he told me that David Braganini has passed away from St. Julian's, and I was not aware of that. So many condolences to the Braganinis.
Sure. Yep, I remember.
Terrible
David.
News. Yeah. Nice guy. We've had him on the show several times, and of course, St. Julian's is a storied winery as well, almost as old as Fenn Valley.
Yeah.
So.
Went down to Fenn Valley with the girls.
I did. I my daughter Emily and her husband Matt love wineries. They live in L.A. and at Burbank, and of course Southern Cal, Northern Cal. There's just great vineyards all over there, and so they wanted to try a Michigan vineyard because they've really never been to one.
Right.
So their experience was phenomenal. They joined the wine club. They want it shipped to California.
Oh, very cool.
So here's a little bit of me last night.
Hey, I'm live right now down in Fenn Valley, Michigan, and I just got done tasting some great wines with my buddy Brian, and it's so great to be here. How you doing, Brian?
I'm well, Bob. Nice to see you.
You've got some cool events coming up, and I think there's a lot of listeners that have never been here, and I want to urge them to come down here because every time I come down, I don't want to leave, and it's closing time, and you're trying to throw me out, so tell them why they should come down.
No, it's never closing time in the wine business. No, this is a good time to come to the winery because it's not as busy. You know, we're really busy from 4th of July until middle of October, and so now you can actually spend a little more time with us and learn a little bit more about the wines and really dive in a little bit deeper into what we do here at Fenn Valley and how we make wines and ciders. So it's fun to come down here now, and we get a lot more of the locals and Grand Rapids crowd this time of year as well.
And you have servers, or what do you call the people behind the bar?
We call them tasting room sales associates.
Okay. The one we had tonight was just fantastic. I mean, talk about an education. We brought I brought my daughter, my wife, my son-in-law, and my daughter and her husband live in California. So they go to wineries out there all the time. Guess what they want to do? They want to join your wine club so they can get this wine in California.
Yeah, well, we're actually launching the wine club here in the first quarter of 2017, and California will be one of the states that we can ship to. As you might expect, they're a pretty friendly state for shipping since they ship a lot of wine out of California. So that club will be launching shortly. It'll be 3, 6, or 12 bottles 3 times a year, and you can even customize your shipment if you so choose, if you don't like the stuff we picked out for you.
That is so cool. Yeah, well, they do go to wineries out there all the time, and very impressed with great Michigan wines. So right now for Super Bowl, you've got something really cool coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, on February 3rd, so Friday before the Super Bowl, we have a new event for us called Super Bowl Eats, okay? And it's a culinary demonstration combined with a three-course kind of heavy appetizer dinner. We're bringing in a professional chef, Jim LePerrier, who does this for a living, and he's going to show people how to make, sort of take your traditional Super Bowl or party kind of fare and elevate it to a new level. So the menu's really inspired. It's got nachos, but with ahi tuna and just different kinds of a different take on some chicken wings and different stuff that, you know, you'd normally think of when you think of Super Bowl, but taken to a new level. And also we'll discuss how it might pair with wine and cider during that. So guests will get to learn how to make the stuff and walk away with the recipes to try it on their own. So it's really kind of a neat event.
They might even get to sample it.
Well, yeah, they will. You get to try all the food. In fact, that's how it's going to come out. There's going to be 3 courses. You've got your kickoff, your halftime, and your overtime course. And so you're going to get to eat all the food as well. So it's a Friday night, 6 o'clock. So we're planning it as a meal replacement that evening. The cost on that is going to be $40 a couple, which includes the wine, the cider.
That is a bargain.
Yeah, I mean, for $80, that's pretty good entertainment. For 3 hours of entertainment, food, and drink, it's a pretty good deal. You know, again, it's winter. We just want to get you down here.
Okay, is $40 a couple or $40 a person?
$40 a person. So
that's more like it, because $40 a couple, I'd book the whole state.
Right, and it's limited spots, actually, because it is going to be pretty intimate. So you're going to get to actually talk with the chef, talk with myself about wine and cider, so it's going to be a really fun event.
Okay, as I'm looking at the whiteboard, I see January 21st, you have another chili cook-off, and you have a cool chili cook-off. You do like 4 different varieties of that. You're still needing a few teams in which categories?
Yeah, so we had to shrink that event again because the cellar got more compressed with tanks because we've taken in more fruit than ever before. So as a result, a lot of this event has sort of sold out, but there is still space available if you want to make a chili. And so the exotic category, which is pretty much anything but your typical beef, chicken, and turkey, and the no legs category, we call it, which is the vegetarian category, both have space and typically have space right up until about the week before. So that event is the 21st of January. It's only $10 a chili. That includes admission for 2. It's a really fun time. Live music, a wine by the glass specials, and of course, lots of good chilies to try.
That sounds like an awesome deal. Jop, if you're listening to this, I looked at my calendar, January 21st, I'm open, and guess what? I got venison.
Yeah, well, venison's a popular category, and it goes in exotic, but I'd say over half the exotics are venison, so if you want to see how yours stacks up, it's a pretty good competition. It's judged like a wine competition, so I won't go into details, but I will suffice it to say it's a rigorous judging process, actually, for amateurs here making chili.
That sounds pretty cool. So we've got the chili cook-off January 21st, and then the cooking class
February 3rd, and then February 11th and 12th is an event we call Vinotine. So this is another couples kind of based event. The weekend of right before Valentine's, we do wine and food pairings in sort of an intimate setting for you and your guests. You know, sometimes it'd be couples will come together, last about an hour, so you get to try a bunch of different wines and some food pairings that we make with those wines. It's a nice, really cool atmosphere, great way to spend the weekend.
I think you need to build a hotel down here because I never want to leave when I come down.
Yeah, you know, people have mentioned that before, and I don't blame them. I don't want to leave either. That's why I live here.
You live across the street. Okay, we're staying at your house. Okay, so Fen Valley Winery, it's really easy to find. Go down 196 south of Holland and look for the Fenville exit. Head east a few miles and then south, and you're here. It's a fantastic, beautiful estate. It's the oldest winery in Michigan. It is, well, they've been with us from the start, and they're just great friends, and we love coming down here. Any last words for our audience in terms of, like, maybe signing up for your list?
Yeah, everything that we do, we have on our website. So fenvalley.com, or just Google Fen Valley Vineyards. You can sign up for tours, get on the newsletter list so you know when the wine club is officially launched. This is where you sign up for all the events. Most of our events do sell out, so it's kind of not a bad thing to get on and sign up early. We try to keep it simple that way so you can pay ahead of time, and when you show up, you're just ready to have some fun.
All your events do sell out, and that's a tribute to the quality of wine, the way the community loves you. The wine lovers just love coming here. You treat everybody right. It's fair, and your wine is fantastic. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Back to you, Jop.
Yeah, Fen Valley's been a fantastic sponsor, and even more so, they make fantastic wine. I'm very, very fond of their Merlot. They have a reserve Merlot that is just smooth and smoky, and it goes so well with anything on the grill. So I really enjoy that kind of, or that varietal, rather, of wine. But got several different varietals down there. I mean, approaching 30. So it's always fun to go to the tasting room and spend some time down there with your friends, and in your case, your family, and you introduce people to it that never seen it before.
Oh, it's so awesome when people that live in California are going to have Michigan wine sent to them because they say they've never had any wines that tasted quite like this. And they love their California wines, but they're like, these are ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, I'm just thrilled about that.
Yeah.
That's how far we've come in Michigan. So, yeah, just kind of cool. And, of course, it's a wonderful tasting room. And we just know so many people there after a while that, I mean, they've got these hostesses that serve you wines that are so knowledgeable. I mean, my daughter is just a huge foodie, and she's very technical. And this hostess was just feeding on her and just giving her information. And Emily's just like, you could see her just clicking. She's asking questions that I'm pretty impressed with. It's like,
yeah,
wow.
Fen Valley's exit 34 off of 196 as you head from Grand Rapids on the southwest, headed towards Benton Harbor there on I-196. I think it's exit 34 gets you off, and it's just a short 3 or 4 miles to the east to the winery. Follow signs, you can't miss it. But if you've not had an opportunity to go down there, it's a great place to take your friends, family. Huge place to take a date to go down there and really enjoy some of the wine. So coming up next, we're going to wrap this thing up for 2016, and we're going to be doing a little bit of a surprise for you. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wishes and dreams, the trees would be falling. Listen to reason, the season is coming. Stand in the place where you live.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
It's that time when we do a little bit of man law, and as usual, it's brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. So today's man law is a pretty cool one, close to my heart. No man shall ever allow anyone to speak ill of The Simpsons or any Terminator movie.
If that's the way you feel about it,
it is.
That's the way it should be. Yep, I'm not a giant Simpsons fan, but I'm not going to dog them either. There's some good humor if you watch close enough.
Oh, yeah.
In those, yeah.
Yeah, just like Family Guy.
Well, Barbecue Bob, the last time we talked, it was Christmas Eve with everybody. And since then, Santa Claus was very good to me. And I just wanted to reach out and say thank you because I got a very cool gift from Barbecue Bob. Very useful. Can't believe I didn't have one up to this point in time. But
I was hoping you didn't.
No, and I don't. I had griddle, but Bob bought me a 15-inch Lodge cast iron skillet. Now, this is the universal tool for the kitchen and the grill. And like I said, I can't believe I haven't. I
can't believe I bought you one that's actually an inch bigger than mine.
Right. Well, now that wasn't hard.
Now I have skillet envy.
Yeah. in addition to, I've always had grill envy for you. You've had five for every one of mine. So now a little skillet envy is just okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got that at, I think, at Gander Mountain.
Sure.
I looked online, and there were actually more money online. And so I think I saved like $10 at Gander Mountain. And I love buying cast iron anyway. Up in Baldwin, north of Baldwin, right on the west edge of Wolf Lake, there's a fantastic little LP gas station. And this guy has one of the nicest arrays of cast iron products you will ever find. It's just a little, I mean, it looks like a little gas station, and he sells propane there.
Right.
But the guy also is the distributor for Billy Bones Spices.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wonderful guy to stop and talk to. If you're ever on 37, just right at the edge of Wolf Lake, just north of where 10 heads west.
Sure.
And fantastic little shop, but I don't know. I get really aroused by certain things, grills and cast iron.
Right.
And they're just
and just remember mine's an inch bigger.
Yeah.
That's all you got to remember.
That's right. It's not arousing at all.
No. Okay.
Actually, what's nice about your Lodge, mine's an old, it's an American make, but it's really old. It's like 60 or 80 years old. So there's not even a name on it.
Right.
But it's so seasoned and so
fantastic.
First
thing I did with it was bacon. I went and bought 3 pounds of bacon, cooked it all up, and I use bacon in a lot of recipes, as we all do.
You do?
And I cook it all up, and then I diced it up into little pieces, shrink wrap it, and it's ready to go to put in anything. And I do like little half-pound packages of it, so whenever I want to cook with it, I can just open one up, and it's ready to go.
I always use my big one for that, too, but I also have a really nice Lodge griddle that they sent us,
mm-hmm.
and I use that sometimes. I think you have the square version. I have the
rectangle
version,
right.
Which is nice because it fits over two burners. But for Christmas, I bought my wife a couple of really nice nonstick pans, very high-end stuff from Bed Bath & Beyond. I can't remember the name, but they're gorgeous. And now I'm just trying to find a way to store them because I'm afraid they'll end up like the old ones we had. But I'm now doing bacon on those, and that is really a treat. It's crazy.
Depending
Nothing
on the brand of those
them.
Nonstick pans, you have to be careful of the utensils you use in them.
Yes.
You want to use the nylon.
Well,
or
I can
ones.
Finally use the rubber-tipped
right.
tongs that I have. I don't use them for anything else, but
right.
I was happy to have them for that.
Yeah.
You don't want
yeah.
to use them on the grill.
Exactly.
Pretty sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
well, Happy New Year, Barbecue Bob. It's been a fun 2016. Looking forward to a great 2017. The grilling guys, God willing, will be back next year and going right after it again. So to each and every one of you, Happy New Year. Travel safe. Be safe out there tonight. And tune in to us next year where we'll continue to yuck it up a little bit and have some fun.
That's right. And haole makahiki ho.
All right. Bye now.